You're listening to RIA Radio, the nationally trusted name in real estate investing. We dig deep to discover investors' why in real estate. If you want to skip all the BS and get in investors' heads, you're in the right spot. Be one of the thousands to check out RIAradio.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by JM Real Estate Capital.
Hi, it's Rob, JM Real Estate Capital. We're the money guys that you need to know for all your real estate investments. Talk to us. We can do what your local bank can't or won't do. We don't have millions. We have trillions with a T to lend. 844-WE-CLOSE or go online, jmrecapital.com. That's jmrecapital.com. JM Real Estate Capital, smart solutions for the real estate investor.
Earlier, you're mentioning your garbage floating into the neighbor's yard. Like, I should have brought that up as my story, because like I probably get 2 to 4 at least garbage nuisance fines a month in Milwaukee.
No kidding. That's I'm weird. Like,
just because somebody else's trash blows on my yard, now I'm the culprit. I'm like, it's just bananas how many code violations I get.
Okay, so, well, speaking of that, with the size of your portfolio, you probably have had some really crazy, wild stories, like maybe finding something in a property, something's happened at a property. What's the wildest story you could tell that our podcast listeners would be, like, blown away by?
This one may not be as PC, but...
Oh, perfect. So, yeah. That's even better.
Yeah. So, you know, in Milwaukee, I do all my inspections with this one guy. What I do is I take a red eye. So I like leave Thursday night and then I'll get in like 6 a.m., rent a car, do the home inspection by 10. And I take the 1 o'clock back to Seattle so I can do a quick in and out. We're in this one property and, there's in the basement area. It looks like the family's kid would take the girlfriend down there, and there, because there's just a bunch of spent condoms down there. I'm like, oh my goodness.
I got a story like that.
So that there's, but I've got like numerous stories we could go on for hours on, just the tenant side and then like damage side and like violation side. Oh man, there's always something going on.
Have I ever told you my condom story of the house I walked?
I don't know. So we might as well now.
Yeah. So there was a property I was walking for a client. He's buying it. Let's just say there was a foreign group living in the property, college students, and they lived next to a apartment building that was all predominantly foreign also. And so we go in this house and, just dirty, right? They leave the chicken out on the counters. They have like a 25-pound box of rice that's open. The place is so infested with rats, not mice, rats, that literally the rats have no fear of you and they're eating the chicken on the counter that they just leave out there. They're obviously cooking. So I go into the basement and this thing was a steal. It was almost like a 2-for-1 deal on an up and coming area. And it was a huge house. You had to get it. I mean, it was two houses in right by the med center here in town for $60,000 for the pair, and they both were converted duplexes back to single families to give you an idea of the size of them and side by sides. So I go in the basement, and I mean, like we literally like one corner has this massive snake hanging, and the rats are literally running across the pipes and the wires in the basement, unfinished basement. Go look at the bed. I could have sworn I've told the story before. It was the craziest house I ever walked. And there was a mattress laying on the bed downstairs. And all their food wrappers, and like one of the kids was obviously living down there. All of his food wrappers surrounded the bed with like zero covers on it and a pillow. And then there had been 150 used condoms all around the bed.
Dude,
I'm dead serious. And so the kid was sleeping with a lot of the people that were in the apartment complex next door. And there was you know, from talking to people. So like when we, so, you know, obviously we were like, you know, we ended that lease and when we took over and, the property manager, the maintenance guy sends me a picture. He's like, biggest catch I've ever had in a day, and sends me a picture and he laid them out and there had to have been like, no kidding, 40 to 50 dead rats just in traps that he set up. And
I can't get over the 150 condoms. What kind of girls is he bringing back here where they're not like, whatever you have going on here.
Your trophy.
Your sex dungeon with rats everywhere. What? Like this guy must have had some mad game though. I mean,
that's exactly the same thing I was thinking.
I'm like, he was very persuasive.
Well, I'm gonna be honest. The first thing I thought going into it, that there was some trafficking going on.
Well, that could be.
And so, but then, you know, we dug into it, thought and like, no, there's just, you know, there's just a lot of people next door and these, you know, and we believe that they're just hooking up and I was just blown away. It's the nastiest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
You know, this is a kind of a downer, so apologize in advance, but I was going through, I was buying a whole bunch of foreclosures in, like 2008, 9 and 10, right? I go on these houses and a lot of them were either pre-foreclosures that were going up for auction or they were already, you know, taken by the bank and they're listed now as REOs. So I was going through this one in my hometown and you walk in and you can tell right away somebody's been squatting there, right? So there's just like random stuff everywhere. There's like, you know, like Ted said, like food wrappers and
squatting means that they're living there, not like squatting and peeing, right?
Yeah.
Just for clarification for people who don't know, they know.
Okay. It's a real estate podcast. So I go in one of the bedrooms and to check it out. And there's like condom wrappers and condoms on the floor. And there's like a sleeping bag, or maybe there was like a single mattress. I don't remember, but it was just super gross. And I was like, okay, that's all right. Whatever. You know, that's why we're in the, you know, like we make bad things better. So I was like, all right, we can, you know, I get rid of the flooring and whatever. I'm just kind of mentally picturing this. Then I go to the next room and there's a sleeping bag on the floor. And then there's like this big teddy bear. So whoever was squatting in this house had a kid that they're bringing along with them while they're banging somebody in the next bedroom. And I'm just like, oh, it just, you know what I mean? Like I like kind of just felt, I don't know what I felt, but it was a very like polarizing moment for me where I was like, there, the things that people do, you know what I mean? When they're like behind closed doors is just never ceases to amaze me.
We literally, I had this 50 house package I was looking at for a client and we were walking all through all of them over like a week span and went into one and she had like five kids. And, you know, super nice lady. The house is in pretty decent shape and we're walking the rooms and I didn't even catch on to it when I walked through. So I'm walking through, taking pictures of each room, moving on. And you know, how it is like, you take your two pictures. You're like, I got a lot of houses to walk. And I'm like going through and preparing all the photos, putting them in the right, Dropbox files for the client to review. And I'm like, well, let me reverse back to that. What is it? What is in this photo? It's like webcam. You know, I didn't realize that there was a whole ensemble of toys on the bed with.
Oh, so this is like an OnlyFans studio, basically.
I think this is before that. I mean, this is probably about 4 years ago.
So it's a webcam girl.
Yeah. And like, you know, I'm like, oh, there's a towel. There's the whole entire bed is soaked. I'm like, oh, like whole, like it was very detailed photo. And I'm glad I missed this. Cause I'm like, oh, this lady's really sweet. And this is probably one of the tenants you want to keep. And her little kids are running everywhere. And like you obviously are not paying attention to the kids. Cause you're paying attention to whoever is watching.
Well, she probably pays cash. No, cash doesn't bounce. Just saying.
Gosh, you guys just reminded me. I had two stories. So like one is like when you're talking about coming into the room and all the kids, this is the same house with the condoms. We open the door and you never know what's going to happen when you come into these. Right?
True. Yeah.
And so this is a large, like three bedroom place. And so we walk in the door and little did I know, I almost stepped on a kid. So when you open the door, there's a couch. And the kid was sleeping under the couch and his head was out And so I almost walked on his head walking into the house. I'm like, what in the hell is going on here?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's two things that always get me. It's always kids and elderly. And
right.
And it's like, it's like, okay, do I need to call CPS on this person today? And then the second one is like, I mentioned it, but I've seen so many elderly situations where I feel like somebody's obviously banking on the parent or grandparent that is not able to take care of themselves, and they're mm-hmm. just living off of it. And, I don't know which one is honestly worse. I've just seen so many sickening situations, and that comes with the industry. I mean, you just see some crap that you can't get out of your head. I was just talking to a new sponsor that we have at our local RIA group this week. And, you know, we were kind of comparing some stories, and she's like, yeah, my first week on the job of being property manager, I was managing this building, and I smelled a smell as I was checking this one out over and over. And here I am week one, you know, 23 years old, walking into a property, and here's a dead naked old man that's been sitting in his bed for multiple months.
And oh my gosh.
And she's like, she was the one I found him by herself. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, and I'm like, and you're still in the industry?
Yeah, I was going to say that probably wasn't covered in the real estate education of 80 hours already.
She's like, everybody started complaining about the smell, and she's the one I had to go in and check it out. Wouldn't answer the door.
Yeah. And I had, I don't know if you remember this. So we had, gosh, probably, I don't know, 9-10 years ago, there's a property management company that was managing some of my stuff, and they had an employee that I knew. You know, she did a lot of the unit turns. She'd go out and basically do a post move out inspection and put the report together and give it to you as a property owner. And, you know, you're like, yeah, here's what it's going to cost, et cetera, et cetera. So she did the post move out walkthroughs, pictures, documentation, and all that. And so what ended up happening was there was a tenants that were evicted. And before they were evicted, I believe there was a gas dryer hookup in the basement, and they had somehow or another, it was on full blast. And I believe what happened is she came in to do a walkthrough and was on her phone or something, and the house blew up.
Oh my God.
Like, rocked other houses that were next to it off the foundations. It was that bad. Like, she's, you know, she's no longer with us, obviously, but like, stuff like that is stuff that, you know, is the everyday day to day. Not that people get killed all the time in real estate, but like, that's the dark side of it that, you know,
sure makes the news when it does happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Greedy landlords.
Well, hence why, we came in today, and Owen's like, there's a gun in the kitchen. I'm like, well, I
go, anything you want to tell me? Because I opened a drawer to get like a knife out of it to cut an orange. And he's like, I'm like, there's a Glock 40 in the in the drawer. I'm like, what's anything going on, Ted?
So I had to go to a part of town that was questionable, and I had a lead that came in off the sign. I didn't know who it was. And so there's been real estate agents that have been killed in town. So I don't carry my gun ever. I've taken my gun twice out of my house ever. And I have my concealed carry, but I don't take it. And so it's a felony if you have a drink and drive, and, you know, even if it's one drink and drive and you have a gun on you and you have a concealed carry. So I'm like, hey, I'm having a drink on the podcast. I'm not going to, I forgot to take my gun out of my truck, so I'm going to go ahead and leave it here. And because I got to be safe. But you got to protect yourself. You don't know what kind of crazies you're going to run across, right?
Yeah.
Hey, so usually we start off with this, and I did have a question for you in regards to, like, you're working Amazon. Can I ask you what was like the lead for you to get started in real estate? What was like the thing in your life that made you think that real estate was a lucrative option and something that you want to get started in?
So for me, I was like, you know, I was working all these hours at Amazon. I'm like, there's got to be a better way. And I was just like researching online and like trying to, you know, Google how to make money. And I think it was like when I found Bigger Pockets, and then I was thinking about real estate, and I'm like, this is what like an average Joe person can do to become wealthy, you know? And so at the time, there wasn't the term house hack. For me, I called it the and one. I was like, I need to buy something with something, the and one. And so, you know, I just lucked out on my first one. There's a couple of properties I put offers on, I didn't get it, but the one that I got was a duplex, so I could live in the top or in the bottom, and then I had this bunch of land such that I knew that I could have rental income and then I could do future development.
Yep.
And that's once I got that first one, signed up my first tenant, which actually was an Amazon person, that was like the hook. I was like, how do I do more of this?
We call that the first shot in the arm.
Oh yeah. I'm such a deal junkie. That's why I keep buying all these properties. But I need to be a net seller and simplify my life in 2024 here.
In perspective, I'm just giving you my perspective to your perspective. I bought my first investment property about 13 years ago, but I really got started in 2020. You know, I think I got about 14 units. I'm not a baller like you and Owen, but I'm just going and doing me. But to scale with the amount of properties you have this quickly, how have you been able to do that? Are you doing it with partners, or do you just attribute the fact that you were making so much money at your day job that it was able to help grow you at the speed you've been able to grow at?
So it's an evolution, because it all comes down to deals and money, because you're going to run out of money. I don't even know how many it was, but there's probably, you know, call it 10-ish to 15-ish. I ran out of money. Then I had a retirement from my previous employer, which I cashed all that out. And then I bought 3 properties in my retirement account.
I did that too. I cashed in my 401k for my first investment.
Right.
Well, actually, my second investment, sorry.
Well, I didn't cash mine out. I converted it to cash in. It's still in the retirement vehicle.
Okay.
It's called a solo 401k.
And then
I still own it.
So is it self-directed 401k, or was it something different?
So I was self-directed originally, and I used the largest one out there, Equity Trust, but it's so cumbersome. It's so painful. Just for me to deposit my rent check took like 30 minutes. I'd have to scan the check and, you know,
super fee heavy too, right?
Yeah. So then I switched over to EQRP, which the back end basically is a solo 401k checkbook control. It's super, super easy for me to use. So I went for me doing all of it. I did these 401k, then I get into cash out refi at property 19, though. That was my block. So between property 20 to 30, I had a couple partners in there. And so in today's world, I have 7 properties that are owned with partnerships. And then I have, 37, 36 that are just me by myself. And I bought one partner out last year, and 2 of my partners were going to liquidate. You know, back to me, I need to simplify. My goal by the end of this year, I'll just have 1 partner. And that one, we own bigger stuff, so we're going to keep that long term. But all these other smaller ones, I'm just taking that cash, redeploy it into other stuff.
Yeah, that has always been my biggest struggle in exhaustion amount. But, you know, was the partnership side of it, you know, who to take on, when to take it on. And it wasn't until just recently that I took on my first partner. But because of that, you know, I've almost doubled my portfolio in a matter of 6 months because of taking a partnership on. And my partner has a construction company, which makes it nice. But we both are dealing with money struggles. I mean, we both are successful in our own industries, but also, you know, it's just tough. You know, it isn't just easy to get it going. I mean, you know, hard money is the way to make it happen if you can not fail at it. I mean, because it's a balancing game, right, Owen? You do hard money loans. I mean, you got to find somebody you trust, because there's so many hard money companies that are, in my opinion, are a scam.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hard money companies that are extremely legit. And you got to really kind of talk to some people that are doing business with them, because I know for a fact that here in Nebraska, that there's hard money companies that will tell you one rate, and then you go to the closing table, and then they're like, oh no, it's not 18%, it's gonna be 24%, and if you don't want to take it, that's fine. but you're not gonna be able to close your deal today, and you're wow. and then you're stuck, right? Or there's another hard money company that might say, oh, this is the rate, and it's a really good rate. Oh, and then, by the way, you got to pay all my lawyer fees at closing.
And a bunch of points and, that they didn't account for.
And I just recently had that happen. That was it was super astonishing. I'm like, holy moly. I've given Owen's company all my business except one deal. And I tried something else out for the first time. But I got to give you props because, and I know we're going off topic here, Justin, so I'm sorry, but I got to give you props, Owen, because I've done probably 5 or 6 deals with you guys now, mm-hmm. and you guys have been honest, consistent, upfront, quick, and very, what's the word I want to use? Just very genuine. Like, hey, this is what to expect. And
yeah, like transparency.
Transparency.
I think that's the biggest disconnect between a lot of lenders in general. If you're not dealing with a bank, right, like they obviously have truth in lending and regulations you have to adhere to.
I had a bank issue lately too, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but it's super weird to me. Like, why would you? It just seems really short-sighted to me for a company to pull a bait and switch with, like, hey, I know you went into this thinking this, but here's what you're actually going to be doing the day before your closing, or the two days. What do you expect them to do? You totally have them over a barrel, and they know it, and you know it. And then guess what? You're burning that whole relationship right there. And what do they say? You and plus 10 other people are now like they're going to get that feedback.
And I'm
right.
And now we're getting to 1,000 plus.
Terrible business practice. Not to mention the ethics of it. Let's just put that aside. But the whole business practice of it is like, is it really worth it? Like the few extra whatever you're going to make off of it to burn that relationship, and then you and then like 10 other people that you know that you might refer to them are never going to do business with them.
Well, there's
that.
It's
short-sighted and stupid, in my opinion.
In the same aspect, I was just dealing with this with a banker recently. I'm not going to name drop him, but I was very positive about this person. He's still a great person, but when it, you know, I came to this person. I'm like, hey, I need 60. We did a construction loan. I'm like, hey, I need a $65,000 line of credit for the construction loan. He's like, yeah, no problem. And then he came back. He's like, hey, we didn't appraise. We appraised at $200,000 on this property. And I was like, well, I'm a real estate broker. I know my comps pretty damn well. There's a comp that was like less than like 6 houses away within a year that I'm bigger and better, and it made all the sense. And that sold for $310,000. And so I'm like, I really wanted the appraiser. So we got the appraiser. I paid for it because the desktop was initial. And it came back, and hey, guess what it appraised for? $310,000. And and then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, so I need $65,000 credit. Da 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 da. Well, then it came down to it. They gave me, and then I'm at the signing table, and he hands a check. Has a check on the table for $26,000. I go, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You were expecting 65?
That's yes. And
one third.
Yeah. So it was like, he did like a 60% loan to value. And I'm like, you told me this was no problem. I got 20,000-30,000 sitting in this deal right now. My business partner's got, 20,000-30,000 this. We were going to pay each other back our income plus the remainder to finish the deal. And I mean, like, you really screwed us. And there was no communication. And his only response was, oh, let me go back to the office and review the numbers. I never even got a phone call back. There was no courtesy call saying, hey, I made a mistake or did this and this. No apology. I'm like, but you're stuck because I am sitting in a hard money loan with a hard money company that didn't do me right for 6 months. And I need to get out of it. And otherwise, I'm going to be past my hard money. I'm stuck. There's nothing right. to do. They have you by the nuts.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, even when it goes all the way right, like mine are great. I like working with them, but you run into a hiccup with it, right? So like I have these two projects, my monthly hard money cost is almost 8,000. Mm-hmm. So why am I active on the agent side? Like, because I took these development projects on, I need to bring this money in to pay this other business of mine off, So like, by the end of this year, when I get out of these projects, I'm going to be like, okay, first of all, do one at a time, or I need to make enough money to hire a person to manage it for me. Cause like, or bring in a money partner. So I'll bring in the deal, bring in a money partner, and then we go get the hard money for the project. Cause you know, the hard money can eat you up really fast on these things.
Yeah. It's a big nut. I mean, and especially like, and you know, we've had people that have borrowed money. I say we, meaning my hard money lending business. We've had people that have borrowed money that the environment has changed so quickly in the last 18 months, 24 months with interest rates and all of that, that it's made stuff a lot more difficult, where people took out a hard money loan and they had the anticipation of they were going to refinance out at a higher rate or a higher value, and the interest rates were still going to be like relatively, you know, static, and they're not at all. Like they may have doubled since they started the project. So we've worked with, you know, a few, borrowers in that capacity. And it's been, I would say if you do what you say you are going to do, it's going to make it a lot easier on both sides of the fence to work out something. So, I think like pulling the bait and switch at the last minute is just terrible business practice. And it's short-sighted, and you're never going to get that customer back again. And they are probably going to tell, well, I mean, how many people will we told now? 500 in one week about this. So yeah, like, but I appreciate what you're saying about that too. And you have to, you know, keep your eye on the ball, mind your finances. Nobody else is going to do it for you. You're basically managing your own empire. Right. So that's
right.
That's the difference between being a W-2 employee and having your own shingle that you're, you know, hanging your hat on. And now you own all of it. So you gotta keep your eye on the ball. I love that you're talking about the upcoming, you know, reset of your commercial debt that you've got, and you're planning ahead for that. I mean, a lot of people don't do that. They just think they're going to be bailed out. So I love the foresight and all of that.
And Justin, I'm on the same page as you, man. I was looking at my finances and how much money I have. Three rehab projects going right now. And, you know, I'm just shoveling like money out of my account as fast as I can. And I'm now just trying to do real estate deals as fast as I can to offset that. You know what I mean? And I've never had so much wealth in real estate as I have right now, but I also have never.
And you've never been so cash.
I've never been so broke as I am right now either. Like,
oh yeah.
I mean, like, it's like, oh, I got a $300,000 rehab going on right now. I have a $140,000 rehab right now going on, and I have a $65,000 rehab going on right now. And I'm like, those need to start cash flowing, because I'm like, holy moly, this is killing me. And when you can't take your when you can't buy nice gifts for your wife and take her out to dinner for her birthday and stuff, and she starts like, why are we not going out to dinner? you know, you got to change some stuff. And I totally feel you. And when I reset my goals for 2024, I said, hey, I'm not adding anything else to my personal portfolio until my personal everything I currently own is stabilized to exactly how I want it. So I'm like, hey. You know, if it's driveways, you know, basic repairs, you know, Airbnb switchovers, those are like my top goals this year. And I'm not adding any other rehab projects to my portfolio at all either, no matter how good the deal is.
We'll see about that.
I will not do it.
Hey, this is now documented. So
I will not do it until my projects are all completed, because it completely ruins you. But unless you have the money just coming in and you work at Amazon making $200,000 a year, that's a little different. But I don't, you know, I'm self-reliant on my real estate, just like you are now. But I get it.
Forces you to, you know, you got to hustle, man. I'm in the same boat, you know, because I have these things coming on, and I bought a couple negative cash flowing properties. But in the long term, there's mass wealth in them. But in 24, I can't be buying these ankle biters or alligators, what people like to call them. So, you know, I'm hustling, biters. You know, thankfully I'm very lucky. I have, you know, I'll have four closings here in the next month, which, you know, obviously will
one, bring that's in one the a week, pack. Buddy. That's one a week. Woohoo.
Yeah. but I didn't have any from January until now though. So, yeah. You know, you got to average it out.
I was supposed to have a closing next week. It fell through just yesterday. I'm like, oh, come on.
I know. Being an agent, like, it's not cash until it's like right here.
You can't count it. You cannot count the dollars until the money is in your account.
Same thing as flipping, as you guys know. Yeah. Like, I've had a couple of deals that have fallen through that have been like, ugh. It was supposed to hit you know what I mean? It's like, it's done and we're good. And then all of a sudden it's on your worry radar again. Like, you got to worry about it and, you know, pay attention to it. And it's in your mental like space. I hate that. All right. So this has been so many good, like,
this is just fun.
It's just stuff that you're sharing with everybody. That's been super helpful. So we really appreciate your time. We've got one last section that we lovingly call this episode's OT is sponsored by JM Real Estate Capital. OT with Owen and Ted, where we ask the same questions of every guest. And the first one that we have for you, Justin,
we didn't prep you at all for this. No, I'm sorry.
So feel free to do a long pause here if you need to think, but we'll edit this out. Will your first book be titled or about?
My first book will be called W-2 to Freedom.
Ooh. Have you started writing this already?
I'm going to be launch my website and digital products and coaching will be around W-2 to Freedom this year.
Nice. Congratulations.
Oh, do you have an at or like what's your, how can people like check that out?
You have a hashtag that we need to put on?
So like I have the website. It's actually just called w2tofreedom.com, but I have to publish it. That's what I'm in the process of. On Instagram, you can reach out to me, w2tofreedom or at 4JCCambra. Those are like the two ways to reach out to me. And then email, I have an email set up for w2tofreedom@gmail.com.
I mean, he's totally prepped for this.
I know. It was like we sent him the questions ahead of time.
I've been noodling on this for a long time. Like I need to, because I want to share my story, help other people to do the same. Because at the end of the day, like I learned a lot of this just on my own and kind of, you know, figuring it out as I go. And you know, there's ways to help people expedite, and I want to be able to help other people, you know, because like my mantra, what I've been thinking about it, and I distill it down, this W-2 to Freedom is about earning it, living it, and then ultimately giving it. So I'm moving, you know, I earned it, now I'm living it, now I'm moving into the give it back phase, and I want to help people to get where I'm at and where you guys are at.
Is this the first announcement that you've had of the book on any podcast by chance?
Podcast-wise, probably. But I tell another my first. Friends and everything about it.
Another
and,
first, Owen. High five.
Yeah, look at you guys.
This is the official announcement states for books.
That was left.
Yeah.
That was weird. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's much better.
Much better.
Okay. Left-handed high fives just do not feel right ever.
Okay. So, Justin, next question. Do you have a podcast?
I don't have a podcast yet.
Yet. Okay. So, So Justin, you have a podcast. It's W-2 to Freedom. You can interview anybody in the world today. Who is it going to be? And what's the dying question you want to ask them?
Dying? Are they dying?
No, they have to be alive. So they could be dying, but they, as long as they're still have a heartbeat.
Kind of a weird twist to add in there.
What's the dying question?
They're dying.
What's the dying question you have to ask the person that's alive?
Hmm. So right now, if I was launching it, there's a guy that his name's Brian Lubin. He's done very similar to what I'm talking about. And he just wrote a book called Passive to Passionate Income. And my number one question that's solely focused on me, not necessarily the audience of W-2 to Freedom, would be from going from getting into the writing the book, launching the program, like that, like how did you go about getting that whole program set up? Because like that's when you start scaling, right? He went from he had his investments, he made the money off of that, but then when he really started scaling is when he got into the Action Academy. He had the podcast, but then he launched the Action Academy Mastermind and stuff like that. So I'd be asking him questions specifically around that, and then you know, like what I normally do is ask somebody who knows how to do it. Rip and reapply into my personal business.
So you really want to pick his brain, don't you?
100%.
All right, Justin. He knows I hate the term pick your brain.
That's why he does it. He works it in whenever he can. We are fast forwarding now to 50, 60 years ahead. We're at your funeral, and it's very sad. Who is going to give your eulogy, and what do you hope they are going to say about you?
That's a deep question. I was still thinking about pick your brain, and because that's like the number one thing I get asked, and through Instagram or emails or at a meetup, I'm like, I just died inside when you said that. You know, it's just like, how could you ask that question? Like, at least put some thought into it, you know? So who would give my eulogy? It probably my thought would be, it's probably my girlfriend. I'm sure by this time we'll be married.
Where, oh, is this an official engagement? Like, are you proposing right now on
podcast? No,
that's cool. Hey, we'll send this out wherever you need it.
Yeah. We'll send it to her. It'll be a really cool thing.
Right. No, we're like Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. I think we're going in 18 years right now. So no, we're obviously, as you can tell, slow build up. But I'm sure we will at some point in time. But I would imagine that she would give a talk. And my goal is that it's not about real estate. And it talks that I was a good person and I helped people and gave back. Because I, you know, the more that I'm, you know, hanging out with other people that are further ahead than me, you know, it comes down to contribution and giving back. Because, like, you know, we're at a level where, like, you know, the money is nice, but it's not going to change you. Like, I think for me, when I can start helping people go from W-2 to freedom or help them get out of whatever situation they're in or improve their situation, like, these are like milestones that I want to carry with me, because that's something that money can't provide. It's a feeling that you get. And so that's what my hope is when she's doing the eulogy.
My favorite response ever was the guy that said that he picked like the celebrities to give his eulogy. Who was that? Like, it was totally unexpected. It was like the guy did the Snakes on the Plane movie.
Oh my!
Samuel Jackson. He said, "Like, yeah, I'm gonna Samuel Jackson do my eulogy." I'm like, "Oh, that's totally." I didn't expect that one.
It's a fun question though, because like it's so like it makes you stop and you have to think about. There's recency bias because you're thinking about like, okay, who have I hung out with? It's kind of the whole thing where you're, okay, let's say today you were getting remarried and you now had to repick all of your groomsmen. It's going to be probably maybe different than your original set.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So it's recency bias in that whole conversation. But yeah, like the eulogy thing, I mean, you have to really stop and think of that, because like there's nothing really more serious in your life than that.
Well, doing this for almost 3 years, this podcast, my mindset has changed on almost every one of these questions over and over again. And
except for me, I'm giving your eulogy.
Yeah,
you'll obviously.
I'll probably,
because I'll still be around.
I think I want
multiple, and you won't.
I want multiple people. You could step in there and talk a little bit.
Okay. I mean, I'll be there.
I mean, yeah. You are older than me. So
I think my girlfriend would also say this, because like, you know, I have resting smile face. Like, I'm like,
you do. You always, seriously, I've noticed this today. I was like, God, he just seems like a happy guy. Like, I would love to hang out with you. Like, you just seem like a very approachable dude. And I have resting face a lot of times, like, especially with the goatee. Like, my kids, the last couple of months, I've had a goatee and I don't normally rock this beauty that I have right now. I don't know what you're doing, Ted.
I'm doing your face that you usually have.
No, this is just my face. Like I said, I have resting face.
It's really unapproachable.
My kids are like, are you mad? What's going, like, is something wrong? Like, what's wrong? I'm like, this is just my face. Like, I'm happy to see you. How's your day? Like, just like, what's that?
You don't need to explain your RDF. We already know.
I'm just saying, you seem like a very nice guy.
This is why,
like, I want to hang out with you.
Hang out with him. We hang out every time that we are BP.
I will give your eulogy. Okay, you don't have to. It's done. I'm there. You have convinced me.
Yeah, this is actually my pissed off face too. You know,
he's like, wrap this up. It's been 2 hours.
Yeah, that's true. Oh God. All right. Where are we?
It's my turn.
Okay. Good.
What mentor in your life has had the biggest impact on you, and how they influence your career or personal growth?
What mentor? So I've had a lot of mentors. The only way to continue to progress is getting mentors. And a lot of them, they don't know they're mentors. Some you're paying them as mentors. I've had a lot of them. I'm just trying to think of which one. Like my most current mentor I've been working with, that's when, and on more of the, around the mindset. So thinking about being abundant, about contribution, meditation. And so I think that's helped shape me more so today, and where I'm taking my future personal career, and then obviously the real estate through his coaching.
I have a follow-up question to that. Let's say you have some thrown at you this week, like you're in it. You have no idea how to answer the problem that is just risen up in your face. Like something happened at your property or your business that you're like, WTF, I have no idea. Like, who are you reaching out to?
Lately, it's my lawyer. Because I literally have.
No, that's good.
You're like, you know, when shit's going bad and it's in your face or whatever, I literally have my house is filled with the neighborhood's shit in my house right now. So like this is real world being an investor. It's in my flip that I have the hard money on. Now I can't sell it. There's insurance claim. So yeah. Like for one, it's like I talk to my friends that are investors, and then you now lately nowadays, like getting my lawyer involved.
Your lawyer, you know, expensive.
Yeah. No, it's like $300 for an email. You're like, hey, I have a yes or no question. And then you get a bill like 30 or 45 days later. That's like, okay, the email was like $225. You're like, seriously? Like, wait.
I'm going to thank right now Matt Spiker, my attorney at Coley Justin, because I can just go ahead and call him or email him, and he doesn't charge me. He's like, just call me, reach out to me. I'll hook you up. So thank you for being a sponsor of my local group.
Oh, and you know what I'm learning in these development is architects are just as bad. Like I just got an invoice where it says 0.2 hours. I'm like, just like what you're saying, the email probably takes 0.2 hours. And I'm just like, where does it stop? Like, you're billing, you're charging me money because you had to bill me. It's just like, it's a negative death spiral on some of this stuff.
The guy that doesn't do that to you is the guy you want to keep for life.
Yeah.
Owen, you've been kind of my go-to guy for the last 2 years or now. So if I run across something that I really can't figure out, I'm stressed out, I usually reach out to you now.
I haven't invoiced you yet, but it's coming. Just prepare yourself. Yeah. Get your mortgage broker on the phone.
I'm going to send you invoice back for dealing with your RDF.
That's true.
Yeah. So there we go. Hey, so on behalf of our late producer, Denless,
he's still alive. Don't panic, listeners.
But we still want to ask this question on his behalf, even though he quit the podcast. We want to say if Denless is here, what would be his accent? He would say then.
Which one?
It's not written.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. He's like, what are you guys doing? If it is Justin, you had when you're little Justin and you're looking ahead in your life, what did you want to be when you were a big Justin?
Oh,
what do you want to be when you grow up is basically what he's asking.
My first thing was I wanted to be a stockbroker. So like, you know, and this would have been, you know, cause I grew up in 79. So like in the 80s and, you know, that was kind of the, you know, in my mind, that was the heyday of stockbrokers, commodity brokers. They went in every day, they had their suits on, they made a lot of money with a suitcase, you know? So like, I always wanted to dress sharp, look sharp, make a lot of money.
Wear big suits. Wall Street. They have the big shoulder suits.
I love wearing suits, by the way. If I could wear a suit every day, I'd be happy.
Ted used to wear a 3-piece suit up until very recently. So
yeah.
There's a book written by my favorite author is Michael Lewis, and he wrote The Blind Side. He wrote Liars, let's see what else. The Big Short, Moneyball. He's had some, you know, made for movie books that he's written, but he wrote a book called Liar's Poker. He spent some time as a Solomon Brothers broker back in the 80s, and he wrote about Michael Milken, which was he was kind of the junk bond king at the time, and that was when Wall Street, you know, kind of they were loosely basing Gordon Gekko on, you know, Charlie Sheen was in that movie too, but Wall Street was loosely based on Gordon Gekko. And if you haven't read, have you read Liar's Poker? It's such
and it
talks about the whole 80s era, like run up on the bond market. Like I would encourage you to read that. I got a lot. I love that book. And like, he's my favorite author. So I've read literally everything he's written. And he loves the financial markets too. He wrote like Flash Boys and shut up, Ted. Anyway, so read that. It's good stuff. Are you up next or am I?
You're up next.
Okay. God dang it. All right. Here's a question for you. Are you sure that you're?
How can our listeners support you?
Okay. How can our listeners support you, Justin? Are you are you pretty active on the socials? I've seen your Instagram profile. Looks pretty cool. A way that anybody catching this episode might be able to reach out to you if they have like questions or want to like, you know, just hang out digitally.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm active on there, but I'm probably only about 10% of where I need to be. And maybe Ted, you can align on this, because there's really only three things that I should be doing that drive money. It's talking to sellers, talking to clients, and doing social media. Mm. Like, those are the three things that I want to do. So, like, if you want to reach out to me and connect, W2 to Freedom or 4JC Cambra. And that's 4JCC AMBRA. That's the main way to reach out to me.
Perfect. Love that. If you're listening to the first time or the 117th time, we appreciate you giving us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this to. By the way, We reached a pinnacle moment in our podcast. You know how we had that 1 4-star review?
Yeah.
Well, we've had so many 5-star reviews. It doesn't matter. We're at 5 stars, baby. So
it wiped out the 4-star. Okay. Yes, all right. Yes. Wow.
So we're at 5 now.
So we finally arrived.
And if you got questions for Justin, ask it in here. We'll forward it over to him. I'm sure he'll read it. We appreciate you guys, but we haven't had a written review since December 22nd.
That's a bummer.
We are so due for a written review. So get on it, people. Write us a review. Justin, you know what's funny is that we ran each other at the last BBCon as we have the last three. And yep. And I'm like, we haven't had you on a podcast yet.
Yeah.
Like, we literally had this conversation. You even referred Martin Krimmel over to us to be on the podcast. And and you referred him, but we haven't had you on the podcast. So I am very sorry that hasn't happened, but I am so excited that it did happen now. I mean, I just love everything you're doing. I love your story. And, you're just an overall great guy, and you're one of the people I look forward to seeing at every BPCon. Are we going to see you at the next BPCon, by the way, in Mexico?
Already booked it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Cancun.
No, okay. My wife is not terribly excited about that one because I'm going outside the country. So I'm like, you should probably come with. Yep. So we will, to be determined.
Okay, so Fun Ted is staying at home, and Married Ted is going to show up. Got it. Okay.
I'm fun with my wife.
Yeah, I'm bringing the girlfriend with me. This is a business trip so that we can write this off.
And Mexico is going to really hurt BP with their normal attendance. I mean, there's no way they're going to have. I've had numerous people reach out to me like, I don't know if I'm going to go or if I don't know if this is in my budget to go.
And right.
My counter to that is like, what's the difference? Like, you're flying to, let's say you're flying to Texas or New Orleans or what? Like, what's the difference? You're on a plane, you land. You're going to the hotel where it is. Why? I don't understand the big. What's the big difference?
Well, you know, there's people that got to actually get a passport.
And then the hotel's not cheap because it's going to be all inclusive, I believe. In the other ones, you could, you know, get a pool of people and you could do an Airbnb, and which I normally do. So you can get pretty cheap lodging because I believe where that hotel's at, like you're on the compound. You're not exactly Airbnbs around you per se.
Yeah, no, I fair point. I don't know. I've run into this. I have a group. I know you're a golfer too, from what I understand. I have a group of, there's 8 of us and we go on a golf trip. We have for the last almost 20 years. We've gone to different places around the country, been to Seattle, and we've talked about going to like Cancun or like Cabo or somewhere, you know, like out of the country or whatever. And like some random like portion of that group, yeah, like 3 of the 8 will be like, oh, I don't know if I can swing that. Like, I'm like, What difference does it make? Like, you have a passport.
My wife is not happy that I'm going to be, would be going to Mexico, Cancun without her. So I'm like,
who cares? We're like almost 50.
And my wife's a school teacher. I'm not almost 50.
Yes, you are.
And my wife's a school. I'm 43. And my wife's a school teacher. And she can't take that time off very easily.
Right.
She would literally have to pay.
You go.
She would have to pay for a sub to go. And I'm like,
just do what Ted does. Drop new in front of it.
Anyway.
Right. Nobody knows you. Who wants to go to New Mexico versus Mexico? Just call it New Mexico.
It's in New Mexico. Yeah. On behalf of Dennis Bertrand, Rio Radio, and Ted Kosh, I'm Owen Dashner, and you've been listening to Justin, Please Pick My Brain, Canberra. Signing off.